we're seven chapter seven verse three. Heard not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God. We're trying to figure out what that idea of sealing the servants is. We studied last time about the proper forehead, the proper seal, which is the golden plate engraved with holiness to the Lord that was fastened on Aaron's forehead. Then in Ezekiel it was, I have made thy forehead strong against their foreheads as an adamant, harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Christ saying, I've set my face as flint to go up to Jerusalem. That's the totality of the singleness of purpose, that nothing can detract. And off that singleness, there's no ratings of importance of things. It's either the singleness of purpose or it's everything else. The singleness of purpose is the glory of God. And that's what's written on the forehead of the high priest. And the glory of God is singular. We have but one vocation, and that is to be transfigured. And we're transfigured by the renewing of our mind. And that's the single. So the seal has all these different components. Now, we talked about some other stuff too in different places, but the one that I want to talk about now is the contrast to that. And the biggest contrast to the proper seal spiritually is leprosy. And so we're going to study this, what happens in the leprous condition when there's leprosy of the forehead. In the leprosy, it's the sealing, the foreheads is where the seal takes place. And it's always symbolic in the scriptures of it's how you think. That's what the seal is about. Do you understand that? Okay, now go to well, first of all, let me just talk for a minute about leprosy. It's legal definitions. It's a slowly progressing and intractable disease characterized by subcutaneous nodule scabs or cut crusts and white shining spots appearing to be deeper than the skin. The hairs of the affected part turn white, and then later there is a growth of quick raw flesh. So the first sign is these little bumps or nodules, then that area turns white, then any hair on the skin that's in that area turns white, and then that white area becomes raw flesh. Now, almost universally, I think, in the New Testament, when it talks about flesh, it's that word for quick raw flesh. It's the last stages of leprosy.
Is real leprosy contagious, like you touch somebody, or is it as easy you get?
There's different kinds, but we don't care. The only kind we're concerned with is the kind that's in the spirit. It was in Leviticus 13 and 14. And it is so contagious that, well, let's go. Let's quickly read Leviticus 13. You guys read Leviticus. That's too long. We'll never get this. I want to get to a certain point. So it's so contagious that houses have to be burned down if any leprous person has been in them. The stones have to be overturned.
When they traveled, they had to call out, yeah. Leper coming, leper coming.
Okay, read Leviticus 13 and 14. Mm-hmm. In the law nor elsewhere is there any mention of a treatment or a remedy. Leprosy cannot be cured.
Oh, I had a question about that. When Miriam, wasn't she Aaron's wife? When she was leprous, I was reading over that. It never said she was healed. It just says she was outside the camp for 9 days. Was she healed?
Yeah. Okay. She was healed. It's only the universal beliefs in the ancient Hebrew, in the Torah and in the Talmud, is that it can only be cured, it can only be accomplished by a miracle. The worst kind of leprosy is the leprosy of the forehead. And this is hard to understand a minute, but if you have leprosy, you are outside the camp, right? You are removed from the camp. If you have just sort of generalized leprosy, then you are outside the camp and you're with a bunch of other lepers. If you have the leprosy of the forehead, you cannot even be with the other lepers. You are forever alone. Now, you'll not understand anything else. Yeah. You'll not understand anything else about leprosy or about the seal on the forehead unless you understand that if you have leprosy in the forehead, you are forever alone. And there's no possibility of being joined even to another leper. Even to another leper that has leprosy of the forehead. You're forever alone. Can you feel that? Do you know what it...
Why would that be?
Because it's the sign that shows the ultimate evil of the lie of the wicked one. Now, no matter how much you act, no matter how much you try, no matter how much you try to change yourselves, you know for the most part, you know that you have been forever alone. No matter how much you tried to solve it, no matter how much you tried to change it, no matter how much you tried to act like it, no matter how many times you tried to get married, no matter how many times and arguments you've had and how many makeups you have in your marriage, you're still forever alone. You understand that? Why? Why did God design us that way?
So we had to have the cross.
Drive us.
Thank you. Contend with me if you don't believe me.
It's like the best we can get it are glimpses of communion or fellowship. I mean, you can't really abide in it.
Because if you had it, then you wouldn't
be here anymore. It seems like it's just a fleeting, even in the body or whatever. You can't stay in it.
Well, the only way that the leper can ever be declared that he's cleansed, he's never healed, he's cleansed, is when he sees that he's leprous from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot. At that moment, the priest declares him clean. It is only, in a real sense, from a spiritual standpoint, it's only lepers that have been seeing that they're leprous from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot, there's no soundness in them that make up the bride. But have no confidence in the flesh. And this is what Isaiah said. Let me read that real quick, guys. This one flesh doesn't want to hear. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's a description of leprosy. And that's a description. Isaiah 1. Now let's see why all men have leprosy. The forehead, and why it's the opposite of being sealed with the seal of God. Let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings 15. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. Now, in order for this to make sense, you've got to understand that whenever Uzziah is mentioned, it's a type of the Antichrist, and therefore it's
Azariah.
A type of you. What?
Azariah? Who's Uzziah?
No, just a minute. I'm sorry.
Okay,
we're not there yet.
Oh.
16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his name, that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house and the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah and all he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham, his son, reigned instead. So this is an example of what happened with regard to the high places. The Lord smote him because he didn't destroy the high places. Now,
king is still a leper. I mean,
he
still had to go away.
Okay, now let's go to 2 Chronicles 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines, and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbal, and the Mehunim. And the Amorites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and also fortified them. Also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers, in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel the scribe, and Maaseiah the ruler, under a hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons. Everybody remember what that was?
Mm-hmm.
Breastplate. And bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, this is a picture of a great king, right?
Is husbandry looking after vines or some stuff? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Now what happens?
He's a great success.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, the king had a function, and the priest had a function. And what Uzziah did was to take the censer in his hand, which was the priest's duty, and walk into the altar of incense in the holy place. Hear me if you can. Incense is always the thoughts in this metaphor. It's always the thoughts throughout the scriptures. The king, this guy, usurped the high priest's office and carried incense into the holy place.
You know what happened. He was successful, and when he got to the pinnacle of success, he started thinking, "Yeah, I did this. This was my idea.
I don't need a rope around my leg.
I figured this out."
No, but hear me. It's even worse than that. He stopped abandoning himself, and he began worshiping his thoughts. That's what it means for him to take the censer into the altar of incense.
Isn't this what Aaron sings? Was it Aaron?
No, they brought strange fire. They brought fire. They were the rightly office, but they brought fire into the altar of incense that hadn't been started with coals that were with the blood. Now, you got to hear this. If you don't know, this is real important. Gary,
was the coals like that? The fire, the emotions?
No, it's just the incense. It's just the thoughts.
How do you know when it's, when they talk about walls, that it was a literal wall versus a head wall, or the incense or the thoughts of men versus they burned incense and it was a pleasing smell to God?
How do I know that?
Yeah.
Because Paul says it. Paul says all these things happened. As an example, he said, now you are the temple. So if you're the temple and everything in the temple, and the words of Paul, that all of the things that happened as an example. Christ said all these things were parables. It was something literal. It happened in the flesh so that you could see what you were doing in the spirit. Everything from Genesis through the Bible, but especially through the Old Testament, happened so that you could see a picture of yourself. If you don't believe that, then none of this that we teach here will make sense.
It's just history.
It's a history book. And it'll be death. And if you perceive it as death, then you will try to light your own, you'll try to kindle a fire by your own sparks.
If you say, okay, what this was a wall, and this was a guy who went in and burned incense in the temple, so what? That's what it was. Then the same thing that you're saying is, okay, this is just a bunch of people sitting in a room and there's nothing else going on. And yes, that little person that lives in my house is just the son of my body, and that's all he is. There's no parable. There's nothing else going on. It's simply what I can see and taste and feel, and it's only the surface.
You literalize the parable, then. You have to in order to survive. And not you, but anyone becomes a Pharisee.
Yeah, and then you don't see spirit.
That's a good analogy. I never thought about that one.
Go, Harry.
And went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood,
eighty priests.
And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in the forehead.
The priests here, you know, I thought of Luther, who said that, you know, we don't need to go to a priest first, we can just go directly to God. And I thought of that while you read that, and then wondered if the priest then Christ took that.
Christ is the priest. See, he fulfills all of the priest's office. But we can't fulfill that in this. If with regard this, you got to see this is Christ in his temple. Now, trust me in this one. In the New Testament, one says, "If know ye not that you are the temple of God, and if you defile the temple, God shall hurt you." How do you defile a temple? Well, if you're a Baptist, no. How do you defile a temple as a Baptist? What do they teach?
Fornicating,
getting your ears pierced,
the dancing,
playing cards,
anything
Jesus
else.
Okay, all of the things that they define for their own righteous reasons become the definition of defiling. You understand? You take half scriptures and a little bit of things here, and pretty soon you have a whole list of things that defile a temple. But to defile the temple is a technical term under the law. This is how you defile the temple. I mean, there's a couple other ways, but this is the major way. You defile the temple by usurping the office of the high priest or the priest and carry the censer in your own hand.
So using our thoughts for our benefit and not for...
Well,
not giving them over.
Again, not abandoning yourself.
It's like when you say put on the mind of Christ, I mean,
then it's
his censor, his, you know, he's doing all the, he can understand that.
It's okay. All right. Neither shall it be for thine honor unto the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. Now, these are all legal terms. I mean, they're not, this isn't something that you can just go, I mean, we don't have time to do it tonight, but we can, I'll show you in Ezekiel and in the law what holding the censer in your hand meant and how it usurped, it had to be the office of the instead of Christ. It's got to be clear to you now that Antichrist doesn't mean against Christ. Anti is not a translation of the Greek word. It's a transliteration, which means they just brought the word A-N-T-I in the right alphabet into the English language. And it means the instead of Christ. And here, Uzziah is the type of the instead of Christ because he's carrying the censer in his own hand instead of the type of Christ here, which was the office of the priesthood. Now, you got to hear this. If you don't understand this, you'll miss the mystery of all of this Bible. You will try to literalize the parable. You've got to struggle with it in your own terms until you are fully persuaded in your own mind. If you're not, 90% of the time, you won't know what I'm talking about.
Now, there's a distinct difference from carrying the censer and then burning incense in the censer.
Same thing. It's the same act.
Just holding the censer, period.
All right. I'll show you in a minute. All right. Well, I mean,
so if incense is the thoughts, the censer then is
you, the vessel.
The heck is you're reaching for it in the first place.
Yeah,
I mean, it's smoking.
Flesh
the sensor has coals and shit in it that smokes. So just holding it, you know, it's not like you can turn it on and off.
Again, you gotta hear what you gotta turn. You gotta turn the deduction off. I'm not asking you to turn your mind off. I'm asking you to turn the way that you've been used to thinking off. The purpose of the Bible and the purpose of Bible study is to create word pictures, an infinite number of pictures that you can see in your mind's eye, so that your information will be inductive instead of deductive. Every parable only is a portion of the picture. And if you analyze the parable in terms of all of the infinite things and try to make the same things mean the same thing in each picture, then you've lost. I mean, it's like saying, well, the blood of Christ cleanses me from sin. And so if you apply the blood, that aspect, that meaning of the blood, every time you see the word blood or the use of blood in the scriptures, you'll rob yourself of an infinite amount of revelation, because the blood of Christ cleansing you from the sin is only the first step. That's only the kindergarten. From that point forward, throughout the law, the blood always is access. But if you try to take the blood and make it that picture consistently, then you'll miss. Do you understand me? I mean, when you start thinking, I mean.
So whenever you read this in a literal sense, then that's when you're going around as the brute beast.
Yeah.
So if you hear you spiritually, then it's.
You see that it's a parable. Mm-hmm. Christ said, all things are parables. In order that seeing them, they won't see. They meaning the flesh. Hearing it, they won't hear or understand, lest at any time they should be converted and he should heal them. The flesh, that leprous flesh, cannot be, it cannot understand, it cannot see, it cannot hear, and it cannot be saved, it cannot be converted, and it cannot be healed. Okay, let's finish this.
And you're saying that, remember a thing I saw about the Balinese, the people who live in Bali.
I don't know who Balinese are.
You know the Chinese, the people in China?
Belly high.
Go ahead.
You know that country, like way.
Come on, Harry.
Go ahead, Harry. Come on.
Even today, they don't sit around at night and watch television. They sit and they watch shadow pictures. The most revered people there are the old guys who can make these one-dimensional puppets that move, and they put a candle behind a screen and they make shadow pictures. And they tell all the myths of the people with these different characters. And the people just sit back and relax and watch these pictures that tell stories.
Sounds like TV to me.
Oh, yeah, everybody must go there because they revere the old guys.
The greatest revelation from the standpoint of art
is mine.
Is the ancient pictographs.
Yeah. Cave drawings.
Because they showed spirit. Art that went, notice, if you watch art, I mean, I'm not an art historian by any means, but just in general terms, when the realism became, you know, the so that you can't hardly tell the difference between the picture and the reality, it was the period of the darkest spiritual revelation. I mean, now,
a lack of seeing.
Because they're just showing what's there, and all this. And that he's a great technician, but he's a zero spiritist. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's like what we're talking about is what we're talking about. Sitting and trying to rest a parable and trying to apply one thing through all the parable. I mean, that's flesh trying to take That's it. That's what we're talking about.
So if I try to write down what we're talking about right now.
You have to remember that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you have to remember what that Christ means. It's not, he's not just an imaginary figure that's in you. Christ is the desired of the nations. He's the fulfillment of every road that you could go down. He is already fulfilled in you. So there's never learning. I mean, when I study all those books and study the Talmud, and I mean, it's not to learn, it's to unlearn. I mean, there is no learning. You can't learn the revelation of Christ. You can be apprehended by it as you repent from your ignorance and your sloth. Again, all that man defines is progress. Whether it's progress in any field is an attempt to flee from the revelation of Christ. Man is totally corrupt. And the fruit of man is totally corrupt because the tree is corrupt. The root of the tree is corrupt. And we've come so far afield from revelation that it breaks my heart. Let's go back.
Revelation?
No. Second Chronicles. In verse 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land.
So does that mean he was like regent?
Yeah. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. Now, let's go to...
So what is a several? I mean, that sounds like a weird...
Separate. Question. Several just means separate. Let's go to Ezekiel 8.
Is that all they ever say about it?
No, there's more.
It's interesting, though, that they tell the same story two different ways. One way is he left the high places.
No, that was his son. No, I mean, that was his dad. One was Amariza and the other was Uzziah. Now, the book of Ezekiel is the prophet's picture of the high place. Let's see. Chapter 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand, and took me up by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, and to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north. Now remember, toward the north is all, again, the four cardinal points of the compass. Toward the north is
evil,
religion. Toward the east is?
It's the opposite evil. Of this place.
It's the opposite of
it's the place you came from.
Yeah, looking for the sign to come up.
Towards the south is?
Mystery.
Mystery. Towards the west is?
The altar and mercy seat.
The altar and the mercy seat. The setting sun is where you look for the mercy seat. Yeah. Not the rising.
It's the land of death.
He lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. Now, when we get to the sacrifices, and we will start we'll see that on each side of the altar, one of the where the animal was sacrificed, is one, on each one of the sacrifices that were sacrificed in one of the cardinal points. And when we get to the encampment of how Israel was laid out and the 12 tribes were laid out, we'll see what happened to each of them where they are in the 12, on the cardinal points of the compass. And when we finally get to that, we'll find out which each one of the 12 tribes of Israel was one of the 12 signs of the zodiac.
It's too bad we don't live 800 years like the old guys.
No, Jack, we're not going to get there.
They study all this shit.
Well, I've studied it all. I'm not 800.
Well, yeah, but close.
Where was the seed of the image of jealousy which provoketh to jealousy, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw on the plain. So the God of the glory of the God of Israel was even towards the north. And we'll see that no matter where he goes, where you go, whether you make your bed in hell down out there, whether you rise to descend to the uttermost ends of the earth, he's there. Then said he, that's why, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. That's not a story. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the... See, what I would like to be able to do is I'd like to be able to teach about 16 hours a day.
I think that'd be great. Yeah.
Because that's the only way that I'll ever be able to get out of here all the stuff that's...
I know.
And that's what I did for 12 years, study.
Obviously.
Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes toward the way of the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. Now, the hole in the wall was the point of weakness in you. And you dig. And when you dig, you think, well, what you're going to find is, we'll see. Then he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do there. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. That's the wall of your mind where the engraven images are. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. Now these 70 men of the ancients are your Sanhedrin in your head. It's where you got... Do you understand you've never had an original thought? That everything that you think came from one of these 70 men that's sitting in your Sanhedrin? And now we're going to see what they're doing. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Saphan, with every man his censer in his hand.
Ooh, they're Christian.
Every one of these 70 elders, the board of elders, has the censer in his hand. And each one of those elders in this false Sanhedrin has a leprous forehead, and you have to fire the sons of bitches.
Are those just the generations of man?
The type is, it's what you have adopted as your counselors. Your teachers and your counselors, and they've taught you wrong. That's why take no thought. Abandon yourself. Because all of your advice, by definition, is coming from one who has a leprous forehead. He's been forever alone. Can you imagine taking advice from someone? It's just ludicrous. Who would I go to for advice? Wow.
Ask Mr. Censor.
Censor number one.
Do you understand that this ludicrousness of it? And a thick cloud of incense went up. And the thick cloud of incense is going up.
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts.
Thousands of
Yes. Not a sweet savor.
It's a sweet savor to the Antichrist. Okay, that's enough there. Go back to, let me see if I can find it real quick.
No.
Go to Leviticus 13, start in verse 43. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish, in his bald head, or in his bald forehead.
It'll be a red spot on his left temple.
You knew that.
This is a parable.
Or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of his flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper, in whom the plague in his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. Now,
does this mean like a handkerchief or a cloth?
Yeah.
Is a plague considered a famine too?
No.
Well, wasn't there one of the plagues that said, there's a famine in this land, and it's the word of God.
Mm-hmm. No, that wasn't a plague. That's just, that was one of that was the 11th famine in history. That was the famine of Messiah, that went, when Amos, that went throughout all of time. Okay, the idea then, we got to bring this back to the seal. The seal in the forehead in, for it to be sealed, cannot be leprous. The only way for it not to be leprous is for that forehead to know that the body is leprous from the top of its head to the bottom of its feet, and therefore can put no confidence in the flesh, can put no confidence in the senses. So remember, we're studying the components of this seal, what it means to be sealed in the forehead.
That makes it easier to see, because I mean, when you think, you know, you got to be crucified, it's like when you're leprosy, you can see, well, this fingernail is untouched, so, you know, in your mind you're saying, well, I've crucified myself, except for this thing right here.
Yeah.
You know, this is still mine, and my own thing.
Well, I'm going to try to finish this seal, being sealed in the forehead before I go, so we just have Sunday. Does everybody understand a little bit?
Yeah.
I've been hearing, for some reason, back here, I've been hearing Paul all day, the thing about, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. All day long.
Man. And if you know that Christ dwelleth in you, then by definition, you have to know it's finished. I mean, that's what it means. Every man that confesseth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God shall be saved. Well, that's a big deal. It doesn't sound like much in English.
I want to say something real quick. I've been getting sick a lot, like I said, off from the board today. It's hard to describe. I guess it's just sinus or cold, you know, your headache and all this. And I got to feel a lot better towards the end of the day when I went outside and didn't have enough clothes and just in a matter of minutes. It sounds crazy. No reason I say it. I think I'm going crazy unless I say it, but it's literally true. I mean, just the slightest, you know, exposure or something in the winter, just, you know, I'm back to as sick as I was this morning. And it's not, there's nothing to do about it, but it's just, I just feel like my mind just says, you know, you're crazy, this can't be. But it is. I mean, the tangible proof is that whether it's in the summer with a blast of air conditioning or in the winter with, you know, I call it time and temperature before I go outside to try to put on the clothes, and if I don't, it's just a matter of moments. And it's like it's regressive, you know, and so I'm just saying it just to get it out of my mind.
Well, you know, I'm in a similar situation in that, you know, I'm never out of pain. And sometimes the pain, But I want you to hear that, and it may not make sense to anybody else, but I want you to hear that that suffering isn't strange. For reasons that you may not be able to define right now. We've prayed for you. We've laid hands on you. We've done everything that there is to do, that can be done. And so we have to say, Father, this is my thorn in the flesh. It is that which is necessary to keep me in obedience. If I didn't have any pain, can you imagine a bastard? And so the same is true. If you didn't have any weakness, then you couldn't, you wouldn't be here. And I know that's not what anybody wants to hear, but in some ways, deep down within, it's comforting.
Yeah, I can rest, but I think I just have to maybe say it more.
I'm sure. You say it whenever it's on you.
Not with, heal me, but just like my mind is just,
yeah. And believe me, and I know this, and I believe this with everything in me. When I can know to be content in whatsoever state I am, then the reason for that affliction is gone. It's not resignation, though. It may sound strange, but it's appreciation.
Somehow spiritual.
There's an amazing letter that I remember that Blum wrote to a guy that had written him, that was dying of cancer. He was in a cancer ward for veterans or something like that. John wrote him this really neat letter. And I just sort of remember part of it was, and thank God, I think he had cancer because of Agent Orange. And John wrote something like, thank God they didn't get anything important. All they got was your body. I thought that was an amazing thing.
Well,
take a big guy.